This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. 10 families in Clendenin and Kanawha County will soon be in new homes, more than a year after historic floods devastated the area. Ashton Mara reports.
I know it was raining hard when I came up the interstate.
Richard Wolf lived in a small home on Coontz Street in Clendenin for more than 70 years when it was flooded during severe storms in June last year. He was in Charleston the evening of June 23rd when the rain began.
When I got off the interstate, it's a park and ride, water was coming over park and ride. And I turned around and went back to Charleston. I knew I couldn't get in Clendenin.
That was on Thursday. It was Sunday before Wolf was able to return to his home, where he says,
everything was just hop, hippy-hoppy. Everything turned over inside the house. Everything.
Wolf says a utility trailer floated into the upstream side of his home and a small camping trailer into the downstream side, trailers he'd never seen before. And there was
mud everywhere.
Wolf, who has been living with his sister in Charleston for the past year, will soon be back in his Clendenin home. But it won't be the same house he lived in for seven decades. Nearly a year after the devastatingly high waters covered his home in mud and debris, a crew of six Mennonite men have started to build a new house in the same place his home once stood. The men were laying row after row of concrete block for the new house's foundation on Tuesday afternoon, scraping the excess mortar squeezed from the seams between each one as Wolf watched from a front porch across the street. Ori Lehman brought the small group from Indiana to Clendenin on Monday, and by Tuesday afternoon, they'd almost completed the foundation. Lehman says once that's done, his crew will return to Indiana and another group will take over. In a few weeks, Lehman says he'll return with a larger crew.
We'd like to bring in about 20 people, young people and adults, and work and try to build the whole house in a little more than a week, maybe.
Lehman says it won't be move-in ready after a week, but his team of Mennonite disaster volunteers can take it from a bare foundation to a home with hung drywall in that time. Wolf's home is one of 10 being rebuilt in the community of around 1,200 people 20 minutes north of Charleston. Funding for the homes has come from nonprofit organizations like Greenbrier County's Neighbors Loving Neighbors, the United Way of Central West Virginia, and the West Virginia Rotary Club, all organized under the West Virginia Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster, or VOAD. Jenny Ganaway is VOAD's president and executive director, who says it's the coordination of efforts that's making the rebuilding process possible.
One person cannot do it all. It takes everybody. I may have the funding that I can put on the table, but without an organization doing the case management, or another organization such as Mennonite Disaster Service to build the home, then my funding is not going to go as far. So by all of us coming together and working together, we're able to stretch our dollars and we're able to accomplish a lot more.
Ganaway and representatives of the other voluntary agencies involved in funding the homes broke ground on the project in front of Wolf's property Tuesday afternoon. Ganaway says VOAD has identified four families, including Wolf, to take the new homes and is working to find the additional six. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Clendenin.
This next story starts the next chapter of our continuing series called The Struggle to Stay. We've heard from our next character, Mark Combs, before here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. He hosted and produced a show about veteran suicide for us last year called Still Taking Casualties. During that time, Mark was personally deciding to stay or leave Appalachia. He's now among a growing community of West Virginians who decided they have no choice but to leave the state. Glennis Board spent some time with him to find out more about how his struggle to stay actually made him leave.
In the summer of 2016, Mark Combs was cast in a professional production of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet in Morgantown, West Virginia. He was fresh out of college with a degree in fine arts. This was his first professional gig as an actor. This would be his last performance in his home state of West Virginia. And when we met up on closing night, he probably should have been nervous, or maybe on top of the world, but Mark had just received terrible news.
You know, I lost one of my best friends last night to suicide, and he was in the United States Army. He was in the infantry like I was.
The loss of his friend, Tyler Burrows, is especially tragic because, you see, Mark, who is no stranger to suicidal thoughts, just dedicated the last year of his life to raising awareness about the ongoing epidemic of vet suicide in the United States. He even hosted and co-produced the West Virginia Public Broadcasting television special called Still Taking Casualties.
I want to put a face on these statistics. I personally have known over a dozen veterans who have killed themselves. I'm tired of picking up the phone and hearing about another buddy.
I mean, it's the first friend I've lost in a while, probably about 10 months to it. And it's tough. It never gets any easier.
Mark Combs grew up bouncing around geographically between southern West Virginia, North, and South Carolina. He lost his parents early. To follow in his grandfather's footsteps, he joined the service. But 15 months in Iraq left him with several traumatic brain injuries. These came because of exposure to blasts from improvised explosive devices, or IEDs. In 2009, he was discharged because of his injuries and diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. Part of that disorder means he copes with recurring nightmares about being back in the war.
In the beginning, it was nothing but firefights and rocket attacks and mortar attacks and seeing IEDs blow up my friends and IEDs hitting me. But they progressed. In my mind, I was really thinking about certain things, you know, the aspects of really taking another human being's life. And it really started to bother me because that was one thing that I was known for. That was like everybody knew who I was in the battalion because I did that. And I did it more than anybody else. My dreams became just having to watch those people die over and over and over again. And that's pretty much what it is even to this day.
During his college career, Mark discovered a powerful new coping mechanism that changed the course of his life and was the driving force in his struggle to stay.
Honestly, theater saved my life. I hadn't been passionate about anything since being out of the Army, and I was still just kind of wandering around and just, you know, dragging my feet. But I finally found something that I love to do, and I mean, it was very therapeutic, and to get to do the things that you do on stage, and it's this beautiful art form. And it did, it pulled me out from underneath a rock. That's good.
After the final performance of Romeo and Juliet, while his castmates celebrated in the lobby, Mark and I sat down in the now empty theater.
It may have actually been the most difficult performance I've ever done. You know, there's a couple times I stepped into the wings and just kind of cried because I almost didn't want to be out there. But, you know, there's that saying, the show must go on. And, you know, I know if it had been somebody else and my buddy Tyler was here, he would have been there consoling me, but he also would have told me, you know, go do what you got to do. And, I mean, it's basically all I could hear in my head all night. I got a funeral to go to this week. And then try to continue to work, save up a little bit more money before leaving for California at the end of August.
Coming up, we'll hear more about why Mark felt he had no choice but to go. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:54. Variable cloudiness today, a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 70s. Slight chance of rain and thunderstorms continues overnight with lows in the 50s. Mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the 70s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by the National Youth Science Foundation, presenting this year's Martha Worley Lecture at 1 p.m. June 15th at the University of Charleston, opens to the public. Details at nysf.com. Now we pick back up with Mark Colm's story. As Glynis Board tells us about the political and economic pressure that young people in this state face, especially young people who want to pursue careers in the arts.
After a few years of weighing his options, Mark decided West Virginia didn't have a healthy enough economy that would allow him to survive and thrive pursuing a career in the arts.
I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I will never, I mean, if I have to like work a job, you know, at a bar or anything like that to help support, you know, get me from one job in the theater to the next acting job. Yeah, I'll do that, but I can't imagine pursuing any other career ever.
Many of his theater friends moved either to New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles to chase their theatrical dreams. Mark wanted to escape cold winters, so he decided it was California or bust.
West Virginia is a really depressing place when you really get to think about it, especially, you know, if you're a young person who is looking to start a career.
Mark partially blames political leaders for not creating more economic opportunities for young people.
And the more you see in the news, it's like they're trying to make it worse. State government passes these bills that it's like they don't care about us. They care about coal and oil and gas, which are just robbing us blind and, you know, destroying the environment. And it just seems to me like they don't care about the younger generations or the generations to come. Yeah, I'd love to be able to stay here. I do love this state, and you know the people were great, but it's just dying. And you know, if you want to succeed, you got to leave.
A few nights before leaving, his apartment is stripped. He's all packed.
It is a little scary. There is a definite feeling of fear that I'm leaving my home and the things that I've grown used to. But there's really nothing for me to do here. So I kind of really have to leave here. It's like I don't know what will happen in California, but I know what will happen if I stay here. And one is definitely more terrifying than the other. Three days from now, I'll be halfway across the country.
So, Mark set out with a car full of California dreams and expectations that were, well, destined to be smashed to pieces. And quickly. Does he make it to California? That's next time.
That was reporter Glynis Board, who has been following Mark Colm's for the last year as he set out from West Virginia. We'll hear more when our series, The Struggle to Stay, continues. You can learn more about the project and listen to the full Struggle to Stay series online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills.